Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And, it's kind of chilly out there compared to last weekend, but not too bad. It was 38 when I left my house. It was 41 here at the studios. And we had some snow and some of that little sort of solid stuff, I guess they call it grapple, had come down this evening and once earlier today. But other than that, spring is definitely in the air. I mean, it's just been nice watching the flowers blooming, the flowering trees and shrubs are blooming, the leaves are popping out on the trees and different things. And it's just kind of nice time of year. And so we can't complain too much. We had a mild winter. And spring's not been so bad so far, and certainly the flowers and things are looking nice. Had to mow my grass last week for the first time finally, and glad to get it mowed, and it's really starting to green up, noticed here today. But good time to be out and about, and it's a nice time here in northeastern Ohio before the mosquitoes get out too much and bother us, and before it gets oppressively hot and humid. It's just a nice time of year. So if you got a chance to get out this week and weather breaks a little bit, I know we got some cool days coming up, but at the same time, we are moving in the right direction as we come into the last week of April. So at any rate, hope you'll join or stay with us here tonight. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and we'd certainly invite you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can not only learn more about me and about the program, you can listen to past programs there. You can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and from there we meet in Richfield, Ohio at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. And I have to specify Suite 200 because we've had some people that have looked for us and they were looking for a building, you know, like with a steeple and things like that. Well, we don't have that. We meet in a commercial suite, commercial space, and it's in a little strip at 4174 Wheatley Road, and that's near where 271 and 77 cross, right there, 176, State Route 176, and Brecksville Road, all that in the area. But if you go online, you can find us, and pretty easy to find. Don't look for a building with a steeple. Look for the commercial space at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. We'd love to have you visit us, and we'll have more information there at the bottom of the hour on the church and where we're at, things like that. But you can find out more. Just go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs there. If you missed a program, if you didn't get a chance to hear our Friday afternoon programs, or you're not able to stay up for the entire 2 hours of our Sunday night programs, just go to livewithpastoral.com and you can find out more there. I think we're currently up to date through Sunday last week, Sunday the 16th, and we've got both hours there. This past Friday is not up and running yet, but part of that's because I had a lot going on this past week, and I was going to share some of that here as we get started in the program here tonight. But before we do all that, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you and to be a witness and testimony for thee. Pray that you would bless the program tonight. Use it for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, in all things, help us to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, good to be with you here tonight. busy week this past week. There is a lot going on. And before we get to our phone calls, and let me give you those numbers as well. If you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Love to hear from you tonight. But I have a number of things I want to mention as we're getting started here. First, just looking at this past week, I had the opportunity this past week to go down to Columbus to the State House. And we went down there Wednesday morning. I went down with Chris Long, who has been on the radio with me before. He's the president of Ohio Christian Alliance. And we went down, actually, we were meeting with several representatives in particular, and also kind of supporting some other things that are going on down there. We had a productive day. It was kind of nice. The Lord kind of guided our steps. We just happened to run into certain people at the right time. And let's see, where do I want to start first? I think we'll start with this one first. There's a bill that's very important, and we're hoping to get some more information out on this perhaps on our Friday program or maybe on one of our Sunday evening programs, but it'd probably be more likely to be on our Friday program. But whenever it is, I'll let you know about it. There is a bill that is in the House right now. It's in a committee at the moment, and it is in, let's see, I was going to see if I can see, I think it's in the Health and Human, it's in the House Public Health Policy Committee, that's where it's at. But it's the SAFE Act is what it's called. The long title is Enact Ohio Saving Adolescents from Experimentation. And the SAFE Act is introduced by Gary Click. Gary Click, Representative Click, is from Fremont. He also happens to be the pastor of the Fremont Baptist Temple. And just basically the short version of this is it is a bill that will protect Ohio's young people, underage people, from being pushed into transgendered therapies and surgeries. And this is a type of bill that's being passed in a number of states. Tennessee just recently passed something like this. And it's to protect children. We're starting to see some young people who were forced down the trans pipeline as adolescents, and sometimes even beginning before that, who at 18, 19, 20 years of age are realizing the tragic mistakes that they have done that have affected them for the rest of their lives, especially having had surgeries and things. And they are starting to file suits against the doctors, against the healthcare workers, against the school counselors, against the teachers and school administrators, and against those that were pushing them down this path. As Representative Click has pointed out, you know, they're forced, they're almost, the families are almost forced there under the threat that your child's going to commit suicide if you don't do this. And more than once, the thing is, do you want a dead daughter or a live son, or vice versa, a dead son or a live daughter, meaning if you don't let your child transition to the opposite gender, they're going to commit suicide. When in actuality, the statistics show that a child, once in the transition pipeline, is 19 times more likely to commit suicide than one that is not. In fact, the vast majority of the children who have these thoughts that they might be trans or some, along those lines, as they go through puberty, actually grow out of that and become quite comfortable as the male or female as they were born. So this false information. More than false information, it is an actual lie that these counselors and healthcare workers know is a lie when they say, do you want a dead son or a live daughter, or vice versa, implying that they're likely to kill themselves if you don't allow this transition therapy and surgery to take place. They know that it's a lie. They know that a child that goes through this is 19 times more likely to commit suicide than one that doesn't. Why this fascination with death? And you see this in the Democrat Party today. I know there are some people who genuinely are born again, love the Lord, that still vote Democrat, identify as Democrats. Quite frankly, it's getting harder and harder for you to do that. You almost have to delude yourself because this is the position the Democrat Party is headed, is this pro-death in every area, and not the least of which is the abortion, which we're going to get to in a moment. But the SAFE Act is in committee right now, and it had the sponsor testimony this past Wednesday, same day that I was down in Columbus. And let's just say that the trans community was out in force opposing this, and pray for Representative Click, and as I said, he's also pastor of the Fremont Baptist Temple. Pray for their church. They've had threats. He's had threats because of his sponsorship of this bill. And I'd like to be able to get him on the radio here sometime to be able to talk about this and explain some of the things that's going on there. He has taken the deep dive into this subject area so that we essentially don't have to. And pray for him and the work that he is doing down there in Columbus. Pray for personal protection as well for him and for his church. So that's one thing I want to alert you to. Also, do let you know to continue to pray because the SAFE Act is going to be in another committee hearing coming up this Wednesday, I believe it is. Yes, this Wednesday, it'll be its second hearing, and this will be the proponent hearing. And I'm hoping to put something out on our social media. Maybe I can get it on our webpage. Talking about submitting testimony to this, but let me give you a shortcut that you can find on this legislation and other types of legislation. Go online to ohiohouse.gov, ohiohouse.gov, and when you do that, you'll get a page that comes up that has some tabs on it, members, committee, session, legislation, news about resources, and My Ohio Legislature. Click on the legislation tab, and that'll give you a choice to search legislation or to look at some acts that they're doing. Click on the search legislation, and you can just put in HB68. That's HB68, and that is, of course, the SAFE Act. And so if you just put in HB68, you will come up with the information here on it, and you can it'll bring up a thing. It'll show you a primary sponsor, of course, which is Representative Gary Click. It'll also give you a tab for a summary. The status, when you click on the status, you'll see where it's at, and it's in, it's in the Public Health Policy Committee. I think I gave a different committee earlier. It's in the Public Health Policy Committee. And then you can click on the votes tab, and if it's been voted on, you'll see it there. And then you can click on the committee tab. That'll take you straight to the committee, and you can see the hearings that have already been held, and you can see the testimony. You can read them, and you can see there that they have testimony coming up April 26th. You can also see who's on the committee, and you can tag the people who are on that committee, or not tag them, but click on them and go to their webpage. And if you go to their webpage, their Ohio House page, it's at ohiohouse.gov, and when you go there, it'll give you information and a tab where you can contact them, and it comes up with a form. You just fill that out, put your message in there, and urge them to support House Bill 68. And that's essentially, it's basically all you need to do. Tell them who you are. If you want to add a little bit more as to why they should support that, you can send that to the committee members. And again, explore that site, ohiohouse.gov. You can find out who your representative is if you don't know already. You can find them there. There's maps and things. And you can contact them. And if they're on that committee, urge them to support House Bill 68 and pass it out of committee. And then, regardless of whether your representative is a member of the committee, once it passes the committee and goes to the House floor, urge them to support it, urge them to vote for it on the House floor. You can keep tabs of that. You'll see information there on how you can do that. And it's a great tool, ohiohouse.gov. And there's also for in the Senate, ohiosenate.gov, similar things as well there. But this particular act, the SAFE Act, pray for it. Pray for the testimony on that coming up, proponent testimony coming up this coming Wednesday, April 26th. Now, that, as I said, last Wednesday had its first hearings and the proponent hearings, Representative Click speaking in favor of it. A lot of protesters from the trans community there in Columbus as a result of that. Also, while we were in Columbus, there's another bill that we've been talking about. Actually, it's not a bill. It's a resolution. It's a joint resolution, House Joint Resolution 1. And again, if you go to ohiohouse.gov, click on the legislative search bar and just put in HJR 1, you can find out all about it as well. And this is the one that we've been talking about, asking for prayer. It was in the committee because the Speaker of the House, Jason Stevens, my personal opinion, and again, this is my personal opinion, I believe that he worked a deal with the Democrats, and this is why every Democrat in the Ohio House supported him, and it took a minority of the Republicans, 22 of them, that broke ranks with the Republican majority. We had a Republican supermajority in the House, and we were looking forward to Derek Marins being the Speaker and a very pro-family, pro-life, pro-American legislative agenda coming through. And unfortunately, the Democrats and 22 renegade Republicans did a coup and put Stevens in there. And I believe that one of his reasons for being there is to keep House Joint Resolution 1 from passing before the proposed abortion amendment, which right now is being circulated for signatures to put it on the November ballot. And what House Joint Resolution 1 will do is raise the bar for amending the Ohio Constitution. Right now, it's a very simple majority. 50% of the vote plus one vote will amend the Constitution. It basically makes the Ohio Constitution very malleable, and it's altered frequently. As opposed to other state constitutions where you need like a two-thirds majority or 3/4 or whatever, the U.S. Constitution, you need two-thirds of the states and things like that. Even 60% is a little less than some. And it should be harder to amend the state constitution. Because it's so easy to amend the state constitution, we've had such ridiculous things as one time there was a proposed amendment to the state constitution to say who, where, and when marijuana farms can be established in Ohio with the legalized medical marijuana. And, okay, it's one thing to legalize medical marijuana, but why do you want the state constitution detailing who, when, and where it can be grown? That's something that comes from your code of laws. I believe we did have one that a state amendment to the state constitution that that tells who and where they can have gambling in Ohio. It's one thing to allow gambling in the state constitution. I'm not personally in favor of it, but it's there. But why would you have it in the state constitution saying who and where it can be done? That's where law comes in. And those things can be changed a little more easily than the state constitution. We've had outside interests that have spent big money trying to force changes on Ohio as a result. Well, getting back to this, the outside interests are trying to turn Ohio from a pro-life state to a pro-death state. And the House Joint Resolution 1 was set to pass the House in January, and had it passed in January, it would be on the ballot here in the state of Ohio on Tuesday, May the 3rd, which is Election Day. If you're not aware of that, we have an Election Day on May the 3rd. And this issue would have been on the ballot then. Stephen said, oh, it's too soon. It's too soon. We've got plenty of time. And he didn't want it on the ballot. I think that's why he was supported by all the Democrats, is to keep that off the ballot. And he doesn't want it on the ballot until November, because they're hoping to have the abortion amendment on the ballot in November. And if it's on the ballot at the same time that the 60% requirement to change the Constitution on the ballot, if both of them pass in November, the abortion amendment will take effect, and it will become part of Ohio's code of law, or constitution, state constitution. And then the ability to change the constitution will become more difficult with the 60% level after the abortion ballot is or amendment is passed. See, they know what they're doing, because they know that they'll probably only get it passed with a 50-some percent vote, probably in the low 50s, probably less than 55%. And they are confident that they can get a slight majority by misleading people, but they don't think that they can get 60%. And so they've done this, and they're desperate to keep the 60% requirement from going into effect before the abortion amendment is passed. Now, there's a move to put it on the August ballot. The Senate, the Ohio Senate, is pushing this, and the governor's office has even indicated support for it. And the majority of the House Republicans want to do it, but Stevens has said in the past that he will not put it on the August ballot. It's too much money to spend. That's because I think he's in the pocket of the Democrats, the pro-death camp, to keep it off the ballot before the other one, before the abortion amendment, because they don't want to interfere with the abortion amendment. So there was a discharge petition being put together. We talked about this a little bit last week, I think it was, or last week ago Friday on our program, and we had some information about that. We were urging people to support their or to contact their representative and urge them to sign the discharge petition. Well, on Wednesday, while we were down in Columbus, the House committee that was hearing it passed the House Joint Resolution 1 out of committee, and with that, the abortion amendment, the discharge amendment came to an end. It's now gone. It's of no effect now, because it only could take effect while the legislation is tied up, or the resolution is tied up in the committee. Well, the discharge petition now, like I said, is dead, because the House Joint Resolution 1 passed out of the House Committee on Wednesday, April 19th, out of the House Constitutional Resolution Committee. The discharge petition was only possible while the resolution was in the committee. Once it was passed by the committee, the resolution headed to the full House, where its fate is now in the hands of House Speaker Jason Stevens. Meanwhile, There's something else that was going on. And we met with a variety of people, including Mike Gonadakis, who is the president of Ohio Right to Life. He is circulating a signature petition among the representatives there in Columbus on Wednesday, which is asking Speaker Stevens to bring HJR 1 to the floor for a vote in the House should it pass out of committee. Well, it's passed out of committee. So this will ask him to bring it to a vote as soon as possible so that it can appear on the August ballot. Stevens has indicated that he will bring the resolution to a vote if the petition has 60 signatures of representatives who say they will vote for it. As of this past Wednesday afternoon, the petition still needed at least 5 signatures. I know there's been some signatures since then, but I don't know if we've got the full 60 yet. With the demise of the discharge petition, we need those 60 signatures as soon as possible. Now, preferably, it would have been by this past Friday. There are some groups claiming that we have until May 10th to get this done in order to ensure that HJR 1 will be on the August ballot. May 5th, really, though, is a more realistic deadline so that there's time to get through all the procedural hoops necessary. The reason I say that is there's Senate Joint Resolution 2, I think it is, that's the equivalent of House Joint Resolution 1, and they passed it in the Senate already, and it's waiting. So if there's any differences between that and House Joint Resolution 1, they will have to reconcile those differences and send it back to the originating body, I think, and get that final procedural vote taken care of. And it has to be done. That all has to be done and everything certified by August or May 10th in order to get it on the August ballot. So really, we should get it done by May 5th. So to have enough time to get through all of that, that's what we really need. So I guess what we're saying is you need to contact your state representative tomorrow. You can actually do it tonight. You can go to ohiohouse.gov and find your representative and click on the contact form there and send him a thing saying, sign the Ohio Right to Life signature petition to bring House Joint Resolution 1 to the floor for a vote as soon as possible. You can also contact Speaker Stevens' office and urge him to bring it to a vote here in the next week. This is something that you need to do if you're in out there in Medina County with Sharon Ray. As of Thursday, Representative Ray had not yet signed the Ohio Right to Life petition. I don't know if she has yet or not. She appeared to be wavering at the time, in my opinion, waiting to see which way the wind was blowing. But there's reason to believe that if there's enough other signatures or enough pressure from her constituents that she may sign. So do pray for that. Unfortunately, Representative Tom Patton appears to be a lost cause in this battle. He's one of the people who was a turncoat against Derek Marins. And so do make an effort, pray about this. This is our best chance to defeat the abortion amendment and protect unborn children in Ohio. Now, there are some other things in the works. There is a mandamus court case, challenging the language of the abortion amendment that, if is successful, may force them to rewrite the amendment and start the petition signature process all over again. But we can't count on this. This is something that could be done, and it's looking like Speaker Stevens may be willing to do something that he probably was not wanted to do, but it's because of the flack that they're getting from some other things that he may actually go along with it. But pray about this. Contact your representative. This is something you can do tonight. They'll get a record in their office of your for this Ohio Right to Life petition and being for the passage of House Joint Resolution 1 and for the 60% amendment. This is something you can do right now to protect unborn children here in Ohio. If this does not happen in the next week or two, Well, we'll be circling the wagons, coming back, trying to figure out what next our best option is to protect the unborn children. But unborn children, Jesus loves the children, and unborn or born. And I think as his servants, it's important for us to do what we can to protect them. There's nothing that they can do, but you and I can do something. And God wants us to be active, not to just hear, but to be doers of the word. So get involved, contact your representative, urge them to do this today. Stay tuned, we got more to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about our church, more about the radio program, and a number of other things that are available there. You can certainly click on the links there and listen to some past programs, a variety of articles that I have there. There's a list of our social media sites that we're on, and it's more than just Facebook. Oh, I got to tell you something. We went to sign on to broadcast our church services this morning. We've been using YouTube, and so we started out, and my wife usually turns it on, and she goes, "Hey, we've been hit." I thought, "What in the world is she talking about?" And I went over there. We're currently, our church is banned from YouTube for a week. Don't know what we did. One time, about a year or so ago, we got a thing saying that we did something wrong, and I was able to find out what it was. They said it was something involving nudity and indecency. And I thought, I don't know what was going on behind me while I was preaching, but I don't know what got that one. Now this one here, we still don't know what it is. But like I said, we've been banned from YouTube, and they warned us if we do it again, whatever it is, it will be banned from 2 weeks or for 2 weeks from YouTube. So, you know, apparently something that was said in our Bible study or in one of the church messages or something like that, YouTube wasn't happy about. And, you know, we like to tell ourselves we have free speech here in America. We do to a certain degree, but when you're on these social media sites, freedom of speech is largely an illusion. You have freedom of speech so long as you don't upset them too much. And who knows what it's going to be that upsets them. It's just sometimes it can be the silliest of things. And generally speaking, you have no real recourse to fight it. You just, I guess, take it as a badge of honor. You know, as they say, you're not taking flack if you're not over the target. So something we did or said, YouTube had a snit fit over, and they banned us for a week. So if you are one of the ones that watches some of our YouTube videos and you tried to watch us today, you couldn't get us because of that. So we thought, we'll try Facebook Live. Well, we did Facebook Live in the past, but we had problems with it, and not the least of which was that when we would talk about certain things, the audio would go out and the video would pixelate and all of that. And, we tried Facebook Live today, and it would only last for a couple of minutes, and then it kept turning off. So I'm not sure what was going on. So we'll get through it, and we will somehow get through these things. I don't know, maybe we'll just have to tape the messages and then post them later, but we do have some people who, for whatever reason, they're unable to be out to church in the morning, and they do watch us online. But anyway, you can find all that. Go to livewithpastoral.com. You can find a number of those things. And, of course, we're brought to you certainly by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. That's our primary sponsor. We're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. And it just also lets you know, if you're looking for some income and interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, if you call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and talk to Gus, he can help you get set up with your own pizza business, not a franchise, but your own business, but he can help you get set up there, and you can work out all the details. Call Gus at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. All right, well, we're going to get back to a couple of things here this evening, and we've got our phone lines are open. The number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight. We have got Nancy, who's been patiently waiting for us. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call. I did hear Chris Long twice this week. One time, I think one of the times was yesterday. And then also I heard another time, I think it was Tuesday. I don't know. I can't remember what evening. It was about 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And you were on there, too. And he was talking about HJR1.
Correct.
And urging us to, you know, go to his website, Ohio Christian Alliance, which I did. And I spent quite a bit of time getting registered, you know, with my password and all this. It took quite a while because they would not recognize my password. So I just had to keep doing it over and over. And then I found out who my two representatives were, you know, so I could contact them to mm-hmm. urge them to vote the right way in a pro-life position, and it found out that they're very Kent Smith and Elliot Forehand, District 21, they're very pro-death representatives. And I was still going to try to somehow leave them a message, but somehow it got cut off. And then they said I had to put my password in again. They said, we don't recognize this password. I mean, I spent like...
I was going to say, you can go, if you know who your representative is, just go to ohiohouse.gov, and you don't need any passwords. Ohiohouse.gov.
Oh, okay.
That's ohiohouse.gov. Yeah, and
you
when
said,
you
said to contact them, even if they are pro-death, just to let them know what my position is.
Yeah, definitely do that. And when you get to ohiohouse.gov, ohiohouse.gov, click on the first tab, which is members, and that'll open up a menu, and you can see where it says all members, and you click on the thing for all members. And then it's sorted either by district or last name. You can choose which one. You just simply find your representative. You said you had Representative Forehand.
21, Kent.
Yeah, Elliot Forehand.
Elliot Forehand.
Yeah, well, see, I just went there, and there's his picture comes up, Elliot Forehand, District 21. You click on his picture. And it brings you to his ohiohouse.gov page. And when you get there, there's a series of tabs, and you click on the one that says contact. I'm doing that right now. When it click on contact, it'll come up with a form, and you just put your contact information, your name and email and phone and all that, and the address in there. The subject, there's a subject box, and then a short message. Telling them to vote for, you know, HJR1, and you can even put why you want them to vote for it, and just a short message, and you can do that tonight. You can do that at 3 a.m. if you want to, and the aides will get this and tabulate all of the people who are for and against a particular issue, and any particular important message they'll send up, you know, to the representative to see. And anybody can do this with their representative. If you don't know who your representative is, you can go to ohiohouse.gov, click on members. And there's a thing that says district map. And if you click on the district map, you'll get a map, an interactive map that comes up. And when that map comes up, you can find your district. And for instance, I'm just going to take a quick look here. I'm sitting in Independence right now. So I'm going to zoom in on the map as we speak here on Independence. And there's where we're at, and I'm going to click on that district. And when I click on that district, it says I'm sitting in District 19, and the representative is Philip Robinson, Jr. And I can click on, and again, I'm doing this right now in real time. I clicked on his picture right there, and it takes me right to his page for Philip M. Robinson, Jr., District 19. And then I can click on the contact tab. And if I lived here in Independence, I could send him a message right now from this.
Good.
No passwords necessary.
This is going to simplify my contacting him. Now, do you think it would be a waste of time to contact Speaker Stevens?
No, I think that it's a point right now, and you can do the same thing. Click on that members tab, ohiohouse.gov. Click on the members tab, and you'll see the first one comes up, says Speaker of the House. That's just going to give you information about him. You still need to go to the all members, and the easiest way to do is, by default on my computer, it comes up district, but I can click on sort for last name, and then just scroll down, and you'll find Stephen's picture. And when you find Stephen's picture there, which I just did, you see his picture, you click on his smiling face, and it takes you right to his contact page. And when you get to his contact page, you just, again, or it takes to his page, and then you click on the contact tab, and there it is. Mm-hmm. You can send him a message saying, Speaker Stevens, please bring HJR1 to a floor vote.
Can you just tell me a simplified message. I'm going to take it down, dictation. I can say to all three of these, I just want something simple, but all inclusive. Thank you.
Well, for your representative, you would say, you know, dear representative, whatever the last name is, please, or I urge you to vote. Part of it is I urge you to support the Ohio. Let me see if I've got that written down here. Let me get this straight here. Contact them and urge them to sign the Ohio Right to Life petition to bring HJR1 to the floor for a vote as soon as possible, and then encourage them, I urge them to vote for House Joint Resolution 1 when it comes to a floor vote. And then the difference for Speaker Stevens would be to write to him and urge him to bring House Joint Resolution 1 to a floor vote in the next week.
Can you slow down a little bit?
I'm sorry.
I'm writing this down.
Yeah, for Speaker Stevens, send him just a short message and urge him to bring House Joint Resolution 1 to the floor for a vote in the next week so that it can be on the August ballot. He needs to know that people in Ohio want this to be voted on now. I can easily see him saying, well, certainly we're going to vote for this. I'm for this resolution. And he said he's for it. But we'll just drag our feet so that it can't be on the August ballot and it'll be on the November ballot. Well, then that's going to create some problems.
Did you say that Speaker Stevens is for?
Oh, yeah, he said that he's for it. He just doesn't think it should be on the August ballot.
So do you really think he's telling the truth?
Well, he may well, and there's another reason for that, which I'm not going to get into at the moment, but he just doesn't want it to be in effect when the abortion amendment is being voted on. Because if it comes into effect before the abortion amendment is voted on, then it will probably cause the abortion amendment to fail in Ohio. Amendment is voted on before we change to a 60% approval necessary, then they'll get it into the Constitution. And then you can have your 60% thing as far as he's concerned, because they got the abortion amendment into the state constitution.
Okay.
See, he just doesn't want it to be in effect. That's why he kept it off from the May ballot. It should be on the ballot here coming up on Election Day, which, of course, is May the 2nd, just a short time away. He doesn't want it there. I believe that that's the reason that the Democrats worked with him to get him in the Speaker's position, because Representative Derek Marin, who should be the Speaker, was going to fast-track it in January, and it would be on the May ballot, but it's not going to be, because Speaker Stevens, he purposely kept it from being voted on. So, and because it's a House joint resolution, a lot of people don't understand this. In fact, some people put out some misinformation saying that the governor has to sign it. The governor doesn't have to sign a joint resolution. If the House and the Senate agree to it, it's passed. And it'll be on the ballot. So basically it's got to get on the ballot and pass in the next week or so that it can be on the ballot in August. And that's the key. We need to urge them, you know, urge your representative to sign the Ohio Right to Life petition, because that petition is urging the Speaker to bring it to a floor vote as, you know, in the next week or so it can be on the August ballot. And then urge the Speaker to bring it and put it on the, to bring it to a floor vote. And then, of course.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand that. And then to change the subject, I don't know if you happened to hear Elon Musk on Tucker Carlson this week.
No, I did not.
Well, it was very, very interesting. Elon Musk, he was making this dramatic statement that he thinks that if artificial intelligence which I don't understand, really comes into effect and is used dramatically and in the wrong way. It literally can destroy civilization. And I was just wondering, of course, you don't know if that's true or not. Is there any reference or anything similar to artificial intelligence in the Bible that could possibly, you know, be referring to it? I'm sure those exact words are not in the Bible. Are you familiar with artificial intelligence? Does it relate possibly to the Bible?
Well, I think I can make a tie in, and I am familiar with what Elon Musk is saying, because this is something that's being talked about, and a number of articles are being written about this, and there are several people who actually have been involved in developing artificial intelligence, and artificial intelligence is rather interesting. There's some people have interacted with it online and perhaps not even known that they've interacted with it. You can have a paper written, an article written by artificial intelligence, and not even know, and you could be reading content written by artificial intelligence and not know it. There's artwork that's available that was drawn or produced, it looks like photographs or drawings of some sort produced by artificial intelligence. And without getting into the weeds, I know we just got a little bit of time before the end of the hour and I got another caller, but artificial intelligence, there's a number of people involved in it who think we've reached a point where we should not push any further at the moment, because they've had some unsettling developments where actually some types of artificial being has a artificial intelligence that they're using to help with their search engine, and it's been threatening users. Microsoft released its AI-powered search tool Bing to a select group in February, and somebody, I was reading an article where a student, and I think he was over in Europe somewhere, tried to push the limits on it, and they got to get a number of things happening that Bing said this. I'm just trying to see if I can. Well, I can't find it here right now. But it was making threatening remarks, threatening the safety. And there was another, I don't know if it was the Bing artificial intelligence, but it was another one threatening to blackmail somebody. And another one that was trying to get other artificial intelligences to go. And you look at all this and you say, okay, what about the Bible? And here's my thought. My thought comes in where Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2. And starting in verse 1 where the sentence starts, it says, "And you hath he quickened," meaning Christ has made us alive, "who are dead in trespasses and sins." And then he says this in verse 2, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." He continues on, "among whom also we all had our conversation time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That's the first three verses there in Ephesians chapter 2. It's one sentence. In the middle of that sentence, verse 2, he talks about the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And would it be possible for a situation where the devil was able to influence some of these things that are taking place, influence some of the conversations, some of the responses? Well, you know, he has a certain amount of power and authority. He is the prince of the power of the air, and he's also described as the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Maybe this is an avenue that opens up people to demonic manipulation, demonic influence, demonic attack. I'm not saying using AI means you're going to be demon-possessed or something like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it gives him an avenue. He has a lot of avenues where he can do, he can influence us through the things that we watch, through the things that we hear, through the places that we go, the activities that we engage in. The devil is able to influence us in many ways. And it would be no surprise that he was able to influence us through some of these areas as well. So that would be my biggest thought on that. So,
that sounds very plausible. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And I need to get to my next caller before we run out of time here in this half hour.
Well, thank you.
But I appreciate that, Nancy. And thanks for bringing up that thing on artificial intelligence. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Terry calling in. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
I guess it's a good evening. It's a little chilly out, but
it's a little cool here, but not complain too much.
No snow anyway.
Yeah, well, we had some grapples, some little hard snow pellets coming down this evening, so enough to accumulate on a few surfaces, but that's about it. So
there's a couple things I thought I'd bring up tonight if I have time.
Yeah, I know we're coming up on the break here, but go ahead and we can hold over. I also got a couple things I need to lead off with on the next hour as well. But if need be, we can work around a little bit here. But go ahead, we'll get started here.
Yeah. I said, you know, I brought this up before, but I heard this on your affiliate station. It kind of troubled me, and it talks about by his stripes we were healed.
Yes, in Isaiah.
In Isaiah 53, and the whole chapter is all prophecy.
Like, right, it's a messianic prophecy talking about the coming of the Messiah and what he would do for us when he went to when he was crucified.
Right, and in the people teach, like, especially in the Pentecostal circle, I've heard, because I went to a Pentecostal church before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people believe that by his stripes we were healed as a physical healing. And that's not talking about physical healing at all.
Well, I can prove that they're wrong very easily.
Yeah.
When I got saved, I didn't suddenly not need glasses anymore. I wear glasses. I've been wearing glasses since I was young. If physical healing was in the atonement, as they teach, if this meant by his stripes we were healed physically in addition to spiritually, why did I have to keep wearing glasses?
Right.
You know, and here's another thing. I remember hearing somebody call a radio station one time and say that they believe that by his stripes we're healed physically, and then almost in the same breath say, oh, and can you pray for so-and-so because they've got congestive heart failure or high blood pressure, one of the two. Well, how could that happen? If you're healed physically, how come you're sick?
You'll never get sick.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. Hey, we're coming up on the break. We'll pick this up in the second half. Stay tuned. We've got an hour to go.